It's that time again for the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Welcome to everybody who's joined us on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. Today's episode, we're going to be breaking down the upcoming matchup at Mile High in Denver, where Tubby currently resides right now, against the Denver Broncos. How you feeling, Tubby?
I can't wait, man. I can't wait to see those Eagle helmets run out on the field, man. Really looking forward to it. We are sitting on the Eagle sideline, pretty close, about 10 rows up. You know, went ahead and spent the extra cash. You know, it's only one time you're going to see them. I don't know when they're ever going to come back. So, you know, it's always worth it. Sit close and be able to see the birds, man. I can't wait. So excited, man. Really
have,
am.
Have you been to Mile High before for a game?
Yes, I went to the Titans game about 2 years ago. Titans. Got to see Derrick Henry. I mean, just to see him up close is, you know, we had good tickets for that game too. My buddy's a Titans fan. And yeah, went to the Titans game last year. Shannon Sharp got inducted into like the Denver ring or they did something to her for Shannon Sharp that day too. So it was pretty cool to see him again. I know we've seen him at the Hall of Fame game, but to see him again out on the field, that was pretty cool. So yeah, man, it's be my second game at Mile High.
Much more important one at that, but I have that, you know, like a lot of football fans, you have this kind of thing where you want to go to like every football stadium that you can to just experience. Mm-hmm. Like I've always wanted to go to Lambeau, check it out there. I've been to Paul Brown a few times, been to Cleveland. So being in Mile High is kind of on that bucket list because it's an iconic area. It's an iconic team, a lot of history with the Broncos. You know, a little bit where they're at right now is they're on the cusp of maybe regaining some of that legitimacy, especially coming off this past Sunday with the 30-16 beatdown of the Cowboys, which I don't think anybody saw coming. I don't think they thought maybe Denver might give them a game, but I don't think anybody saw the way that is. So yeah, so we're coming into this one 3-6 after the tough loss at home to the Chargers that we talked about earlier in the week. Very disappointing for the way our defense performed during that game, but we're back at it. The season doesn't end just because we have a tough loss. And we got to take on the 5-4 Broncos team that, after looking at that Cowboys game, looks a little bit more dangerous than what I thought before when I looked at this game on the schedule. How do you think?
I do, man. You know, since you mentioned, you know, last week, I was disappointed in our defense and nobody saw, I mean, based off what the Cowboys did to us, they dominated us and they had the Cowboys 19-0 into what, the third quarter or so? Into the fourth quarter, maybe.
Right, it was in the fourth quarter.
It looked bad the whole game for the Cowboys. Not that Denver did anything spectacular. Cowboys just couldn't do anything. It did worry me because the Cowboys did everything against us. And then for them to be shut down by Denver, 100% is concerning coming into this game.
Yeah, like I said, I watched the game a little bit on Sunday. I had the red zone going on, so just catching what I could catch. But I looked at it today just to kind of get an idea of what the, you know, the team was. We got a comment from a viewer right now. Let's see, this is Matthew Kozman.
Oof.
Defense will be everything in this game. Eagles have to find a way to swarm on defense. One-to-one matchups will be a death sentence. That's what our buddy Matt says. And that's true. That's exactly what we're going to be breaking down because it is going to come down to defense. The way that this team played the Cowboys, what, number one offense in the NFL going into that game. Right. And they had them shut out in the fourth quarter. I remember before garbage time, before the two late touchdowns, Broncos up 27-0. It's insane in the early part of the fourth quarter. And then it was just kind of they laid back. And so it was irrelevant to watch the rest of the game at that point. That defense was swarming around the Dak Prescott and the kind of the offensive line of the Cowboys didn't know which way to turn. And you had guys, what we don't do, and that's what's kind of frustrating. When I watch Denver today, I was like, that's the kind of scheme I want to see the Eagles run, where they're bringing their safety, you know, off in a blitz on regular, isn't he, Justin Simmons? And he was regularly down in the line of scrimmage. And then Stephen Weatherly, their strong side linebacker, also blitzing on a regular basis. And that guy can get to the quarterback. So it was constantly moving Dak off his spot. He did not look comfortable at all during that Dallas game, and it was the constant pressure. And their receivers were not given any space by the Denver defensive backs. You know, they've got Ronald Darby, and Patrick Surtain the second. And we had Darby for a while, and we know what Darby's capable of. He's not a slouch at corner. But you put him in a system like he was when he was in Buffalo before he came to us, where he can actually play up and play man on receivers. He can he can really wreak some havoc as far as these receivers in space. So you got, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper got nothing against these two.
Right.
So and that's something that I was surprised at. And then it looks at me when we look at our team, it's like, this is what we should be running. And maybe they will this week. Maybe Gannon hears enough of what giving 80% completion rates to every quarterback in the NFL. Maybe he doesn't want to do that against Teddy. So let's take a quick look at the rundown of the stat leaders for each team. We got Jalen Hurts right now averaging about 220 yards a game, and Bridgewater a little bit more, 20 yards more, 240 yards a game. And then rushing, you're looking at Jalen Hurts as well as the lead rusher for the Eagles, 54 yards a game. But I think that's starting to change. We got Jordan Howard and Boston Scott running the ball regularly now, and that could make a big difference. And then you got Melvin Gordon on the other side. I have him in fantasy on one of the other leagues, and he's been somewhat productive, but they've got the rookie as well, Javonte Williams, who gashed the Cowboys. So that's something that we have to look out for. It's not just going to be Gordon. It's a 1-2 punch. And then it receiving, of course, Devontae Smith is our stat leader of 59 yards a game right now. And then Cortland Sutton for them. But what I noticed from them is that they spread the ball a lot. Cortland Sutton is a really good receiver, but they've got guys like Jerry Jeudy and that kid Tim Patrick. I mean, Bridgewater had people he could go to. And they've got a pretty good tight end as well. They've got Noah Fant. And then I'm not even going to try to pronounce their other tight end's name. his name's Albert, and his last name is very long and very difficult to pronounce. But he both played pretty well against the Cowboys. So, and made a difference. I mean, mostly that game, I don't know if you got a chance to look at it, was a lot of running between Gordon and Williams. And then Bridgewater making passes when he needed to. So they really dominate what people say you got to do to win a ball game. You got to stop the run, you got to play good defense, and you got to be able to run the ball. And the Broncos did that against the Cowboys.
Yeah, they kind of lulled him to sleep. You know, a lot of people get lulled to sleep by Teddy because he's not really explosive, not really flashy. He just kind of gets the job done. He's just kind of methodically can move a team down the field. And that's what he did. I remember the shot he hit to Tim Patrick.
Right.
Right on Diggs. I mean, for him to go right at Diggs, he threw two touchdown passes right at Diggs. So that had me a little worried. Like, man, you're going against right now the up and coming Ramsey of the NFL, if you will. And he dropped that dime in there to Patrick right over Diggs. Like, who are you?
And Patrick threw that little shot too. He didn't fully extend the arm. That was beautiful because it was just enough.
But it's just the confidence to make the throw. You know, the confidence to make that throw and to give his receiver a chance, put it in space where, because, you know, Tim Patrick and Sutton, those are big receivers. Jeudy, he's not small either. And he's like, you know, so they definitely have some quality receivers. So to put Diggs, for Patrick to beat Diggs, but Patrick's been kind of their number one guy all year when Jeudy's just coming back. So Patrick has been their guy, and Sutton has always been good. He's been solid for him when he hasn't been injured. He had a big injury last year. That's what slowed him down. But they have a good receiving core, and they have a good veteran. And when you can run the ball, kind of like what I was saying last week, when it comes to Hurts, if you got the Williams combo, which we could maybe have a watered-down version in Scott and Howard, I think then they can just make those throws when need to. Teddy does scare me against this offense because we give up the balls that Teddy throws. You know, those 5 to 7 yard passes, that's what Teddy throws, and that's what we give up. It's like our specialty. So it's definitely a concern.
The announcer said that when he hit that pass to Patrick, it was, you know, he doesn't normally go downfield. But what I saw in that game was when he needed to, Teddy was dropping dimes. He's got a touch on the ball where – when he throws those rainbow passes, they seem to always find their mark. And so that's, you got to be careful because we do give up a lot of space to the wide receivers. So the Eagles have to go in playing a little bit more on the line of scrimmage and not giving Teddy that option. One of the Cowboys did get to Teddy a little bit. So their offensive line, the Broncos offensive line isn't you know, stellar, but it's good enough to actually do what they did to the Cowboys. But the Cowboys were getting in the backfield. A lot of times the Cowboys were stopping the run when they needed to. It's just they got wore down. It was a constant barrage. And so that's why the run game is so key to be able to establish it, even if the Broncos, you know, kind of put the brakes on us early. It like we talked about on Tuesday when we talked about the recap of the Chargers game. Nick Sirianni knows he has to run in this game. He knows that in order to win this game, he's got to run. But just like with the Chargers, they came out and had like five straight passes. We can't do that. We can't abandon the run in this game because the Broncos are the kind of team that if we're going to go that route and we're going to just start trying to pass on them all day, they're going to play tight coverage. They're going to put pressure on Hurts, and it's going to be a lot of three and outs, and we're going to have a tough day of it. But we'll have to see how it goes. Let's take a quick look at how the matchups work out. As far as points scored per game, we're 11th in the league at 25 points per game compared to Denver's 20th. And then points allowed per game, they're second in the league right now, points allowed per game. That's a big concern for the Eagles, where the Eagles are sitting at 20th at 24.2 points per game, which is not great. Yards per game, we're kind of even on that. They're at 16th and we're at 19th. And then pass yards per game, we're sitting at the bottom there, 30th in the league. Just two off the bottom, yeah. Mm-hmm. And their pass yards a game is right in the middle. They're 17th at 252 yards a game. Rushing yards, that's one of our strengths. That's a thing that I'm hoping in this game, if they're trying to establish the run early, you know, we're sixth in the league at only allowing, rush yards per game, and they're at 13th. If we can stop the run early, that'll make Bridgewater have to throw, and that could play to our strengths. Time of possession, this is one thing I've hammered all year long. I've talked about time of possession being so key, and now that we're running the ball, we have to win the time of possession battle. Right now, the Broncos are second in the league at time of possession, which doesn't look good for us winning the time of possession battle, and the Eagles are at 24th. Not great. Third down efficiency, we're actually at 9th, which surprised me when I looked at that stat, and the Broncos at 22nd. So if you can get them into third down, then you've got a shot there. And then sacks, they're 9th. In sacks, and we're sitting at 21st with 17 sacks on the season. Interceptions, 7-6. They're 12th in the league. We're 18th. So statistics-wise, you could see where there's some imbalances there. Mm-hmm. You know, we definitely do much better against the run than the pass, and that's their forte as far as what they're going to try to establish early. But then the time of possession is probably the one thing that really makes me nervous going into this game, and the sacks, too.
That run game. Yeah, man. I think Teddy got sacked 4 times last week, mm-hmm. so... And he got hit a few other times as well, too. So, but that's not what we've been doing this year. We have been doing that on the road.
Before we get into your keys to victory for this, and then we can break down a little bit further, let's look at the recent games. So, of course, you know, the Eagles beat an 0-7 team in Detroit, 144-6. And then this past week lost, right at the buzzer to the Chargers with a field goal, 27-24. And we talked a lot about the defensive breakdowns. And then you go back to the Las Vegas game and the Tampa Bay game, where they struggled again, put up 22 points in each of those games, but gave up way too much in the completion percentage battle. Brady killed us, Carrs killed us, Herbert killed us, and we're giving up way too much in the air. So that's where those losses come from. But now if you look over at the Broncos side, that Dallas game, 30-16, it's a far cry if you look at their last five games. Barely beating Washington 17-10 at home, and then losing 17-14 at Cleveland, losing to Las Vegas as well, like we did, a similar type score, 34-24, and then losing at Pittsburgh, which Pittsburgh is not playing their best football this season. Right.
And Teddy threw a pick last play of the game. Teddy had him down there, had him about the 5-yard line, and he threw that interception to end the game, basically. I remember that game.
So you kind of have to wonder, where is this Broncos team coming from that beat Dallas like they did? Because their recent games don't look like that team that went into Dallas and whooped up on them. Maybe it was just a lot of good matchups for Denver that just, you know, you have that game. And, of course, last week was a really crazy week anyway because you had the Jacksonville Jaguars beating Buffalo. Nobody saw that coming. You had the Giants beating the Raiders. Nobody saw that coming. And there were so many other crazy upsets last week.
If you had Jacksonville and Denver on your parlay ticket, you were a genius last week. You are congratulations to you. Congratulations. Congratulations. Nobody saw that coming for sure.
So I kind of, you know, looking at that game with Dallas, it was like, who are these guys? I was totally watching the game. I'm like, this looks like a Super Bowl team. Who is this Denver Broncos? I have not seen them. And now when you look at their schedule, you know, they've not been as good. So, I mean, this is a game that we could probably win, you know, who knows? So let's look at your keys to victory and let you break down what we got going on. If we are to stand a chance against Denver this Sunday,
start Howard. Enough is enough. I know he's, you know, we just called him up off the practice squad. We had no choice, because when you call a player up twice, you either have to assign him to the 53-man roster or let him go. I think we should just go ahead and start him. We start Bart Scott the last two games, but Howard is clearly should be our featured back. And I think they've been trying to still, you know, make everybody happy a little bit with giving Scott some touches, which he should, and Gainwell. Like when Gainwell had that random goal line touch, I was like, whoa, where'd that come from? But I like to see Howard featured here. But I think it's going to take, you know, give him about 20 carries. See if he really is our back that, because enough is enough. Like, if he's running the ball well, 4.2 yards a carry, just give him the ball and make, you know, get those designated runs to him. And I think that can get us off to a really good start into this game in time of possession. Get to Teddy, man. We're 0-5 at home with one sack at home. So one sack all year at home. So no sacks, no wins for us, because when we've been getting to the quarterback like Goff, Matt Ryan on the road, we've been able to actually get a win. So no sacks, man, no wins for us. So we have to get to Teddy. He's been sacked four times last week. We only even hit Herbert once last week. It's just unacceptable. And it actually does make it really hard on a secondary when you cannot get pressure on the quarterback. I mean, let's just be real. If you can't get pressure on the quarterback, you will throw for 356 yards like Herbert did. So, absolutely, man. And O-line blunders. Between Driscoll and many times where Maialata didn't even get off the line this year. Maialata is, he's been a little suspect in the passing game this year. Just have to say he has been suspect. But to play left tackle, the most important position, you know, besides the money, he's had a lot of blunders this year at tackle. Even last year, I remember he didn't even block the edge rusher. And he, you know, he double teamed, you know, came down. I think he helped Dickerson out. And it's like, dude, you cannot let the outside guy just go. That's a no-go.
Especially when it's Bosa.
Especially to the most incredible point, how do you just let Bosa have a free shot at your quarterback?
Right.
That's a trust issue with Hurts that may be there that we may not even look at. That, like, come on, man, this dude is twice. They didn't even get off the line of scrimmage this year, and they had a free shot at Hurts. And then of all people, it's about three people in the league you do not want to have a free shot. Myles Garrett, Bosa, and Watt, TJ Watt. Yeah. You know, those guys and the other Bosa out of 49ers as well, too. You don't want these guys to just have a free shot. It's irresponsible. As a lineman, if anybody's counted for, it has to be Bosa. And Driscoll with these random, he tripped Hurts one week, knocked the ball the next week, just goofy ass plays, man, that, you know, just kill a drive for us. And they happen at some of the worst times in the game. So
we've been forced into to Driscoll because, you know, we got him off the Bills practice squad because the injuries to Brooks and Sam Mallow. And I'm just hoping Brooks comes back next week. He's on, you know, on schedule to come off injured reserve. So let's keep our fingers crossed on that. But you got a great point. I just wanted to mention, you know, I've been very high on Maialata early in the season. I still believe in him, just in his sheer size and ability to get off the ball. But this is his first full year as a starter, so he's got to learn those mistakes and be able to. I think for him, it's not so much about ability. It's about positional awareness and knowing who his man is off the line, like you said, with letting Bosa come free. So, yeah, you're exactly right on that one. So let's get to your last key to victory.
And he's a hell of a run blocker with that rugby background.
Yeah.
His strength is his run block. And see the guy, hit the guy, move him out the way with his size and strength. Look, man, we have to have consistent play calling on our defense. It's just no getting around it. Gannon just sitting there giving up 80% plus to every team and just sitting there eating sunflower seeds and just being cool with it is just not okay. We're not going to beat anybody, and I think it lowers the morale of the entire team when they just see a team out there just dinking and dunking, nobody getting to the quarterback at home. Something has to give, man. We need consistent play calling. I say if Slay is playing, I say we max out Nelson and Slay. I say we play them up. I'm not saying bump coverage because that'll just wear your corners out all game. You don't want them bumping But I think they should play aggressive, and I think we should send a lot of blitzes at Teddy. I think at all the game, like same thing we did to Goff. I think we need that same game plan where we just seeing guys all around the line in scrimmage, but mainly just some consistency, man. You know, how many times have we texted during the game and been like, what is he doing now? Why would you switch the defense now? Why are you doing this? Consistency. At least, you know, with Sirianni, at least the past couple of weeks, he's ran the ball like 40 plus times. So I do appreciate that adjustment that he's made. He's playing to our strengths where we do have a quarterback that can run. And so where his passing numbers may be down, he makes up for it in our running game because he's still our leading rusher. As well, too. So, yeah, man, just that Gannon. But Gannon is going to be key here, man. Gannon is going to be key. If we let Teddy just throw 5 and 7 yard passes, which is his strength, and Gordon and Williams able to run the ball, it's just going to be another long day. And I'll be throwing peanuts at the coaching staff. You'll see an Eagles fan getting escorted out the stadium because I'm trying to attack Gannon. I'm trying to jump over to. I just can't take it, man. I just can't take it anymore. Defense, play aggressive. Let the dogs hunt. Let the dogs hunt. Please.
Yeah, we don't want you going off like a Tennessee Vol fan, you know, throwing mustard and batteries or whatever else you can get your hands on.
Whatever it takes.
You make the cheerleaders run for cover. But I get it because you've heard me talk about Gannon and how frustrated that I have been all season with the shell defense. And, you know, it was funny because, you know, I watch Brian Westbrook's commentary every week on his Facebook page, and he actually said something made me just die just the way he said it. Was he was showing the Slay and Nelson being 10 yards off the ball, our linebackers being 5 yards off the ball, and then when the ball is snapped, they immediately back up even further. So they leave 10 yards of space, and all Brian Westbrook said was on his video was like, is this really the defense that we want to be running right now? Is this really the defense we want? And it just reminded me the thing that I played last week about him, where the clip from The Office.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way.
That's Gannon.
I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
Exactly. I hate so much about the way that you choose to be. And that's what Gannon is that he doesn't have to play that way when you've got Slay and you've got Steven Nelson and even Avandi Maddox in the slot. You don't have to give that much respect to the receiver. So I do think that you're right. He has got to go back to what worked against Detroit. Granted, they're an 0-7 team, so we had a little bit easier time of it. But we stand a much better chance in this game if we're pressuring Teddy, which is your second point, and putting him off his spot. And then stop in the run like we always do. So yeah. And again, you're mentioning a Howard. Matthew Kozman came back again and said Howard is consistent. It's a great point there. It is true. We've got, you know, Scott who's doing really well, but Howard right now is our bell cow. And again, we've disrespected this guy so many times. We put him on the practice squad or we waive him or cut him. But every time we bring him back, all he does is produce.
He performs. He does perform.
And we're sitting on here without Miles Sanders, who we definitely could use. If we had Miles Sanders and Howard right now, could you imagine if you've got shifty Miles Sanders and then you've got Howard at the goal line, who's been money for us. Our offense has really picked up, even though we lost to the Chargers. Our offense was so much better. So
no, that's a good point with Howard. You know, we have been just, you know, treat him bad. And he looks like he wants to run. You see his legs churning for those extra yards every. That's why I say just start him and let him run, because he has more pop than Boston Scott does. He's like, you can tell he's trying to get off that practice squad and he ran like it. So let's just keep. I mean, if you got a player that motivated, give him the ball.
And I don't know if you heard that they did sign him to the 53-man roster and gave him actual contract for the rest of the season. So congratulations, Jordan Howard. Now go out there and play against Denver like you earned that contract. So I'm happy for him and maybe this is a sign of things to come, because the guy's not done yet. You know, he's
26, 27. Yeah. He's not really that old of a back.
He's not done. And I don't know why other teams have disrespected him. He went to Miami. They cut him. This is a guy that for his first 3 years in the league with the Chicago Bears was one of the best rushers in the league. So we definitely has been a bright shining light for us in the moments of despair. So let's hope that continues on Sunday. Let's take a quick look at the injury report. That's not that great for us this week. We've got a lot of questionable players. We're going to see, you know, we'll see later on if any of these do end up practicing. None of these practiced yesterday. So Rodney McLeod is questionable. Javon Hargrave, which is huge if he can't play, questionable. Avante Maddox, that's what we don't need, is DBs out for this game. And then Josh Sweat with a concussion in the concussion protocol, questionable for the Denver game. And then we've got Miles Sanders on there as well. Some other players, but we don't need to worry about those guys. He's on IR, but he's expected, along with Brandon Brooks, to maybe come back next week. So if we can pull out a win in this game, there's still light out there with this team. Let's take a look at the Denver side of the ball.
Maddox, are you guys worried about Darius Slay potentially still being out? Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because we can't really play the defense that we feel like we need to play, that aggressive style of defense, if Slay is out. So because they do have really good corners. I mean, every wide receiver that they have, like I said again, Sutton, Patrick, and Jerry Jeudy are all, and they have solid tight ends. So they aren't to be slept on. So absolutely, we need our top guys. And if Slay is out, I think it's going to show. That means we have to get even more pressure to Teddy to make sure he's not getting rid of the ball, or he's at least a little shaky where he's giving the high throws.
Well, he wasn't on our injury report, and the main reason for that was he didn't practice on Monday or Tuesday, but he did practice on Wednesday. So that's a sign that he's no longer questionable. So hopefully that he doesn't have anything else, a setback in practice, because that would be huge if we're going to have guys like Avante Maddox out, and then especially on the front, you know, the front line, and Rodney McLeod being out. If we're not getting pressure with Javon Hargrave and Josh Sweat being out, we definitely need our DBs to play, as many of them that can. On the Broncos side of the ball, you talk about Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick had a heck of a game against Dallas. So he's questionable. None of these guys practiced yesterday. One of their offensive guards is questionable. And then there's the tight end that, again, I'm not going to say his name, Al. Okay, I'll give it a try. Okwagabunum. I don't know. Okie something.
Man.
He's got to have one of those nicknames, like Albert Okie or something, I guess. But he's played pretty well against Dallas. Questionable. And then special teamers, wide receiver Kendall Hinton. Hinton had a couple of catches against Dallas, and then Shelby Harris. So not too much injuries on their side of the ball that are concerning. I think more so the Eagles are coming in banged up, so it's going to be huge to see, you know, what happens. So yeah, and Matt says that Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham are going to need to step up to bring the pressure, and that's true. If Josh Sweat and Javon Hargrave are not in the lineup, well, Brandon Graham is actually out for the year with an ACL, so he's not going to be even a mention in this. Josh Sweat was filling in for him there, and now he's looking banged up. So we definitely need Sweat, Hargrave, and we need Barnett to not get inopportune encroachment penalties. That's one thing we don't need. We need him to play his best game, because Barnett is on thin ice. And other players that need to step up for the Eagles. We talked about it earlier in the week. On the offensive side of the ball, Jalen Reagor's got to have a good game. He has got
100%.
He has got to perform against Denver, because we can't just put it all on Devontae Smith's shoulders. We can't put it all on Goddard's shoulders. You know, granted, we got Quez Watkins and Ward that can go out there and play, but your number one pick from last year, you need to play like it. And minus 6 yards is not going to cut it for Reagor in this game. He's got to take the heat off of the double coverages that Devontae Smith might see.
100%.
So after looking at everything, I'm going to do my picks later, but what do you think how this game goes for us, especially since you're going to be there?
I think the Eagles, if we stop the run, I think we can dominate this game. I can see the Eagles winning this one 24-10. I think if we could just get to Teddy, man, just come on, man. Just get to Teddy. Just get to him. You know, I mean, I keep saying it like it's something, but it is. Just whatever you did against Goff, just try to put the same scheme in. If we get death by 1,000 paper cuts, 5 to 7 yards, I'll just lose it. Like I said, I'm going to jump over the thing or throw peanuts again. And, bro, I'm telling you.
Make sure they're frozen
peanuts. I just can't
take
it. If they go further, thank you. I appreciate
and
that.
And they sting.
Tip.
They sting so much more. You
they
gotta,
stink?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I just decided.
You wet them first and then freeze them?
Yeah, there you go. You put them.
Soak them.
Yeah, what you do is like my uncle used to do. We used to go to Michigan Wolverine games, and I never knew my uncle was insane. Let's just put it out there right now. He was a nut. But what he used to do used to crack me up. He used to take AA batteries and shove them into marshmallows. And then back in the day, like in the 80s, where you could bring something into a college game, and he'd bring a bag of marshmallows filled with batteries so that he could hurl them at Ohio State players. And I mean, those things sting. And then you'd freeze them and then be there with the battery inside. It's like throwing rocks. So, yeah, so yes, you know, maybe you'll do that for Gannon if he underperformed. Man. But, yeah, I'm going to surprise you with my pick this week. You know, I've been up and down on who I pick. Normally, I've been picking against the Eagles because I don't trust Gannon. But I think you're right. I think that this is, after winning that game against Dallas, this is one of those games where Denver could take their foot off the gas a little bit. They're seeing a team, Eagles coming off of a loss, going into their home stadium. My hope is that Gannon fixes the defense to where he goes back to that pressure defense that he did against Detroit. And I think it's going to be a low scoring game just because of the Denver's defense. I'm thinking somewhere in the realm of 17-13, where it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be something in the trenches where both teams are just going to be trying to run the ball and establish the run. And I think the Eagles got a little bit more on the offensive side of the ball and then come away with a victory. But we will see. You will definitely see it in person. I'm very jealous. I mentioned how jealous I am that you're going to be at this game. So, yeah, sucks. Well, whatever. But I'm hoping you have a great time. I'm hoping it's a good one. All right, so that in the past, now we're getting ready to go into that game. This is just a quick look at what we've got upcoming after this Denver game. We've got the Saints coming into Philadelphia the following week. Then after that, the Eagles go to New York, and then they stay in New York and play the Giants and the Jets in back-to-back weeks in week 12 and 13 before our bye week.
Before the bye week. That's a hell of a sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say, and I'm sure that you're getting ready to say the same thing, is that the Eagles sitting at 3-6, they win this game against Denver. You got a Jameis Winston-less Saints team that's running on Trevor Siemian. And again, another upset, Atlanta beating New Orleans, which I actually predicted, by the way, last week. But again, a team that's down, that maybe the Eagles get their first home win. Then you play the Giants and the Jets back-to-back weeks. It is not unreasonable, if they beat the Broncos, to see this team at 7-6 going into the bye. And how crazy would that be if that happened? So looking ahead, it's not unrealistic.
Right. Because if you look at the schedule, it favors us in so many ways. You bring that back up. I want to just point out something. It's a lot of home cooking here. I mean, you're literally just staying home. You'll come to Denver. You'll leave on what? So from the 15th until after our bye week, we're right there on the East Coast at home in Philly. You go to North Jersey a couple of times. That's a bus ride. It's an hour, 45 minutes bus ride. So that means it's all home cooking. You around your family for the holidays. You can plan for the holidays. You know, all those things matter as far as like morale of a team, right? You can get extra treatment, extra training when you're constantly home and you're not on those long road trips. Going into a bye week, man, I don't see why we can't get a good four games in. Let's say we go 4-0 on this stretch, go into a bye week and then come back out of it with that same momentum, just being home so much. Like I said, after Denver, fly back. And then you're home for about a month. That's for football, that's pretty significant because the recovery, football is about recovery, man. These guys, you know, you got the Sunday game, you playing on a Thursday. I mean, I don't know how these guys recover, you know, to even play those Thursday night games. Personally, I would rather see a Friday night game than a Thursday night game just because the Thursday night games seem to be a little slower and you can tell the guys are just tired. You see more injuries, but the games have been better on Thursday. But anyway, a lot of home cooking. I think we can definitely hit a spark here. Every team on there is extremely beatable. Mm-hmm. Division games are always going to be hard. The Giants are playing well right now. They are playing way better. Jones is playing better, even without Saquon.
Their defense has made a big difference for them, and that's 100%. What won them the game against the Raiders. So I'm not. And
Booker has been surprisingly running the ball well.
And that's the thing is that they're, you know, we're both 3-6 right now. So I can't rag on the Giants because we're in the same boat. We're in the same record. And so that's not a gimme by any stretch of the imagination. So there's some things that the Eagles have to do going forward. First of all, they got to win a game at home, which they haven't done yet. And then they got to win back-to-back games. You know, so they've got to, you know, beat, if they beat Denver, if, and that's a big if, then they have to win that next game against New Orleans so that they can put back-to-back wins together and then maybe go on a run going into that bye. Stranger things have happened. But I've looked at this part of the schedule and said this is where they could get right. The key, and we've said it, and we've drumbeat it, none of this works if Gannon can't change it up on defense. If Gannon is given that soft coverage to every team we play, then we're not going to win a game. He's going to get fired at the end of the year. We'll have a new defensive coordinator, maybe a new head coach, and then we'll move on. Because there's no way this guy can survive if by the end of the season he's given up 80% completion rate to every quarterback in the NFL. There's no way he can. If he does, the Eagles fans are going to riot. So there's definitely can't happen. So, but realistically, if he does change and goes back to that Detroit defense that he had, and even the Atlanta defense when we played the Falcons, because we pressured Matt Ryan a lot. I just don't know why he gives the massive amount of respect, or I call it fear, to these top-tier quarterbacks. It's like he's so afraid they're going to beat us deep that he plays 10 yards off the ball to prevent the deep ball. And then we give it up anyway, because, you know, the thing is that in that Charger game, we had Herbert throwing down the field to Mike Williams, and so we're still giving up the bomb as well. So we beat that horse quite a bit. So anyway, going looking ahead, favorable. We'll see where it goes. It all starts Sunday with the Broncos, and we'll just take it as it comes. Not so favorable is the fantasy results from this past week. Well, for me, it was favorable, but for Lord Vader, not so much for your fantasy team. You didn't break the century mark this week. What happened?
You didn't. Mahomes, man. I mean, well, if you see my running back, I had to start Michael Carter and Boston Scott. I just couldn't. I didn't have a good solid. I didn't have any running backs, man. I had three running backs from the bye this week that really hurt me. I mean, then James Robinson Jr. was hurt, so I couldn't play him either, man. So just caught me in a really, really, really bad week. That was definitely a winnable matchup. There was a lot of low scores around the league, but Patrick Mahomes is the most glaring. Just not. He just hasn't been giving me that normal 40 points a game like he's used to. I'm sticking with him. He's like the stock market. He will bounce back for sure. Yeah. So I'm going to ride out, man. I'm still in the sixth position of the playoffs. So I'm still in it. And I have, you know, I'm like second or third on highest points in the league. So had a couple down weeks, but, you know, my team can explode at any moment. But, man, it sucks right now.
I've had nothing but down weeks. But this week I made some actually good decisions. Chubb came back and, of course, had me 30 points. And then I had gotten more from the Jets because I had so many receivers on a bye.
It's a hell of a pickup.
Yeah, and he got 27 points for me. So I squeaked out a win against Beat the Block, 128-116, to get off the schneid because I think I'd lost like three or four straight. So fantasy for me is I'm at this point where it's like, whatever happens. I'm just going to put in a lineup. I'm not even going to check it until I actually didn't even check my scores until after Monday night because I didn't even want to know. I didn't want that stress. I'm trying just to enjoy the games right now. So
I'll tell you.
Now, as far as the Broncos game, looking at potential starters of just the Eagles players. Now, I have Jalen Hurts. I didn't start him against the Chargers. It was kind of iffy. I really went with Carr because he was playing the Giants, and that hurt me because Jalen had five more points, so it wasn't really that big a difference. Jalen's not throwing for a lot of huge numbers, so I'm not so worried. It could go either way as far as quarterback goes. What I'm thinking is, against the Broncos, if you're a fantasy owner of an Eagles player, do you start Jordan Howard this week against that really tough run defense of the Broncos?
If you're in a non-PPR league, yes. If you're in a PPR league, he's going to be touchdown dependent. So Boston Scott, because he can do both. That's why, you know, in game, well, you would think it would be better options. But Devontae Smith should have a good. I don't know what he should have because the Broncos defense are good. But that is his second target. I think Goddard is Hurts' number one target and Smith is his second. But Smith still gets a lot of targets a game. He may not complete a lot of them, but he at least gets targets. I mean, they're starting to look a little better together. Smith isn't having those key drops as well, too. But, you know, when he is completing passes, they're going to Smith and Goddard. So if you have any of those two guys, I would definitely start him this week personally.
It's tough because the Broncos shut down Cooper and they shut down Lamb, which you would think those guys would have had good numbers last week, but they didn't. And so that when you look over the historically, though, that's not what the Broncos have been doing. So Yeah, you're right. If you've got
they're Smith eighth, and Goddard, yeah. They're eighth. They're ranked eighth in the league in pass.
Yeah.
So they're not.
They're not slouches. They're yeah. definitely one of the better pass defenses. And like we said before, Darby and Surtain have been playing really good at those positions. So, but you have to start Smith and Goddard because really, especially if you've got him, you know, if you've got better receivers, maybe you can bench Smith, but I don't know. You've got him. So it's ultimately going to be your decision.
And I have Thien. I have DJ Moore. Yeah. I have Michael Pittman Jr. So it's I've been rotating my, I had Smith in the flex and I take him out and I put him in the flex and I take him out. So I got good problems at wide receiver. That's, when they yeah. show up.
So you'll have a decision. We'll have to see whether you started Smith at all right. going into this game.
Right.
And that brings us to our final segment of the day, which is the picks game. And I had a rough week. I'm not going to lie. Last week, with all those upsets, with all those crazy games, and then what I did is I made a cardinal sin, is I changed the Arizona pick to San Francisco because Kyler Murray was out and they still won. And I changed the Miami game because Tua was out and they still won and covered. So that was a 40-point swing right there that just killed me. I ended up going minus 80 in points. I went 5-9 in pro, my worst week ever. I went 0-3 in college. So I have now fallen to second place in the pick standings. I am 20 points behind Tim Case, who's sitting at 160 for the season. After that, I'm in a tie for second with Dustin Smith at 140. So I went from being 100 points up to being 20 points back. And it is what it is. Again, I'm overthinking it. I've been struggling for the last few weeks just breaking even. So I couldn't pull away once I got my big lead. And then now I'm just imploding. So I'm going to try to go with my gut again and not overthink it and not change picks this week. When I go over my picks, they're locked in. I'm not changing a single one. I don't care if anybody gets injured. I don't care. I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just going to let it ride.
Look at it.
After that, we got Darren Muir at fourth place at 60, and then a couple people that at even, CJ Clark and Roger Adamson. Again, I don't mention your name unless you're over negative scores. So you got to earn it. You got to earn it. Hey, I may be not mentioning my name too long if this keeps up for me. So that
you just click through that slide real quick. Like, this is the slide. Click. These are my picks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm done with that. I don't want to even look at that anymore. We'll see if I can rebound this week. I'm hoping so. So that brings us to my picks for this week against the spread for our picks game. Thursday night, we've got Baltimore going into Miami. And I got to go with the Ravens on this one. 7.5, you know, even on the road in prime time against the Miami team that's really struggling, and Tua may be out again. I'll go ahead and take the Ravens. And then following that up, Dallas at home against Atlanta, I'm going to go ahead and take that 8.5 points that they're giving. Not because I think the Cowboys will lose. I just, right now, I don't know what team we're dealing with. So I'm going to take some underdogs and just go with the gut and see if Atlanta can pull something off. Next, I got a few favorites. I got Tennessee giving 3 to New Orleans. Again, Tennessee is even right high, even with Henry being injured. I did not see them beating the Rams. And again, that's another one I lost, another crazy game. No Henry, and Tennessee still pulls it out, so I'm going to look them to keep rolling. Their defense is just really dominant right now. So I'm going to take them giving 3 at home to New Orleans. And besides that, we've got Indianapolis at home giving 10.5 to Jacksonville. Jacksonville coming off the 9-6 win over the Bills. I think they come back down to earth, and I'm going to go ahead and give those 10 points. New England is at home giving 1.5 to Cleveland. Cleveland coming off the drubbing that they gave to the Bengals in that in-state rivalry. That surprised me. That was my lock of the week. I really saw Cincinnati winning that game by 2. Didn't happen. They got blown out. But I think New England, going into New England, is a different story for Cleveland. And I'm going to take New England and their cheating ways to get by with a 1.5 point win at least. Buffalo giving another 13 points, this time at the New York Jets. Well, fool me once, Buffalo. Shame on me. Or fool me. We won't get fooled again. Isn't that what Bush said? I forgot how that works.
I think you nailed it.
Okay, good, good. I got it. So I'm not going to let Buffalo fool me twice. I'm going to go ahead and take the Jets in that 13 points, especially they've been playing a little better on offense. I don't think they'll win, but I think that the Jets can cover that 13. Then we've got Pittsburgh at home with Detroit coming in, still winless, needing a win. I don't know if they get it this week, but I think they can cover 8.5 points that Pittsburgh's given them. I'm going to go ahead and take Detroit. Next, we got Tampa Bay on the road at Washington, giving the football team, as they're still called, 9.5 points. I'm going to take Tampa Bay. Arizona on the road against Carolina. McCaffrey coming back. Hopefully Murray will play this game, so I'm not going to change it. I'm going to take Arizona at home, giving Carolina 10 points. The Chargers, after their victory over the Eagles, given 2.5 to Minnesota. This Charger team, if they play good offensively, Minnesota doesn't know what team they want to be. They took the Ravens to the wire, but I think that, again, this is that up-and-down Minnesota team. The next week they fall off. I'm going to take the Chargers at home, given a field goal. Green Bay Packers are going to be playing at home against Seattle again. Don't know when Russell Wilson's going to be back. I'm going to take the Packers, giving 3.5. They're riding high right now, and I'm going to make that my lock of the week. So hopefully that this one will work out for me because it didn't work last week. And then we got our game, Denver at home, giving 2.5 to Philadelphia. Like I said earlier, going to take Philadelphia. I'm going to take the Eagles, getting those 2.5 points. After that, we got Kansas City. And don't ask me why, because I don't even know what Kansas City team we're dealing with this year. But I just have a hard time believing they're going to be consistently bad. And so they're given 2.5 at Las Vegas. Las Vegas losing to the Giants. It screams that Vegas is going to come back home and beat Kansas City. But I just can't do it. I got to take Kansas City, given the 2.5. And then the Monday night game, we've got the Rams on the road at San Francisco. The Rams losing to Tennessee. They need a comeback win. They just got Von Miller. They've got to really, they're in win now mode. So they've got to win this game against San Francisco. And this is a division opponent that they must beat. So I'm going to have them giving 4 to San Francisco on the road. And for the college, we got Oklahoma at Baylor. I'm going to take Baylor, getting 5.5 from Oklahoma. I don't know. Again, I don't know if they'll win, but I think that they can keep it close. And then we've got Ohio State at home, giving 20 to Purdue. Purdue coming off the upset of Michigan State, and I think they're going to keep rolling. Maybe not beat Ohio State, but I'm hoping they cover that 3 touchdowns and just barely squeak an underdog win out for me. So I'm taking Purdue. And then finally, we've got Wake Forest coming off their loss at North Carolina. Now they go up against the other team from North Carolina, NC State, and they're giving 2 points to NC State. And this time, I think that Wake bounces back. I took them as the underdog against North Carolina last week, and I paid for it. But I'm one of these guys that doesn't learn. I'm kind of like Jonathan Gannon on defense. I just keep doing the same old stuff. So I'm going to go with Wake Forest again and see what happens. Matt Coleman
with
said,
Matt.
Yeah, he says that Sooners will destroy.
I'm with Matt. I'm with Matt on that one. I think Oklahoma. I think they're going to run the. I know Baylor has played a couple teams really well, but I think Oklahoma is going to drag them. I really do. Since they switched quarterbacks, took the boy Rattler out. Got the new kid in. I think they've been rolling. You know, they've had some Williams, I think, is his name. But
yeah.
Woo, I may even have to put some green folding paper down.
Well, you're probably right. If you look, I went 6-0 in college the first 2 weeks, and I've been 1-2 because we only do 3 college games a week. I've been 1-2 every week, and then last week I went 0-3. So I
hear you.
Clueless when it comes to college. I'm not going to change it. I've already made up my mind. I'm not going to change it. They're locked in. I'm not doing it. Because that what'll happen is you want a guaranteed loss for me, change it to Oklahoma, and then they'll definitely will. Right. They will lose. So I'm going to leave it the way it is. So anyway, gotcha. A lot of fun to come up this week. I mean, we're in a rough season. We're 3-6 right now, but we've still got our heads high. We're still Eagles fans. This is what it's all about. I'd rather have this than no football at all. So we'll deal with it. This is what it's like being an Eagles fan. We have highs and lows. And, you know, sometimes you got to have those lows to get through the highs. We're still on track. I don't know if you saw this. Carson Wentz said that he's going to play this week, even if he misses the birth of his own child. He's going to play because his wife's due to deliver this week. And that's good for us. So thank you, Carson, for being selfish and going out there and for getting your wife while she's going into labor. I think it's their first child too, because they just got married. So whatever, birth of your first child, football, weigh those options. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. So, but that bodes well for us because we're getting Indy's first pick if he plays more than 70% of the snaps, and he's still very much on track to do so. So you know, good for us in that, and we get Miami's number one pick, our number one pick. So it all could work out come up next season. We just need to keep building up this season. So Tubby, you're going to be at the game?
I am, man. I cannot wait to see those Eagle helmets roll out. Really excited, man. I don't know, I'm trying to hold it in a little bit, but I'm going there, man. I can't wait, man, because I haven't seen my birds in a while. So to walk in that stadium and see him. I think since the Cincinnati game we went to, it's the last Eagles game I think I've been to. Nice. So that was like, what, 2017, something like that? I don't know.
It was, yeah. No, 2017 was the Super Bowl, so it was the year before that with Wentz's first year. So that was 2016 was when we went and saw him, because they lost to the Bengals pretty bad that day. But Wentz's first year, they struggled. But then the year after, that 2017 season will live on forever in my mind. Mm-hmm. I've actually watched the whole season back on NFL Game Pass almost twice through, just because it makes me feel good. I'll probably do that till the day I die. I'll be watching that one season. But I want to see more seasons like that I can fall back on. Mm-hmm. So maybe it all starts this week. I don't know, but you're going to be, I think we said it a million times, you're going to be at the game. Maybe we get a report from the game that we can incorporate into the podcast next week. Win or lose, we'll get you a little bit of recap from the stadium. That would be awesome. And then to the rest of you, well, whatever your team is, hopefully it's the Eagles. If it's not, good luck this weekend, except for Denver fans. My big friend Dustin Schmidt is a huge Broncos fan, so I'm not going to make any wagers. We just have to see how it all turns out. So with that, turn it over to Tuppy for your last and final words.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
that was passionate. Well, then let me follow it up with a go Birds.
Happy Veterans Day to all my veterans out there.
Good point. Happy Veterans Day. We'll catch you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Eagles.